for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yes, everyone, welcome to another edition of The Warm Down. As always, delighted and honoured to be joined by my mate, Alex Stepney. How are you doing, Alex?
Very well, thank you.
I don't really have a lot of good to talk about with you at the moment, I'm afraid. but listen, David De Gea is going through a little bit of a sticky patch, and I thought, do you know what, we'll get Manchester United's 1968 European Cup winning goalkeeper in to give us a bit of an expert view on how we should deal with David De Gea's. Should we call it a sticky patch? I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everything else, you know. His reputation has been fantastic up to basically, I would say, this season, because
multiple Player of the Year for United.
He's won so many times and that, but the fact is that I think there was some sort of concern even when he was playing for Spain, in the international games, and then all of a sudden. So unexpected. He's had a run of four or five games where it's not been David, and that gives ammunition not only for the away team that you play, but also for the media. And now whether that's taken effect on him, I don't know. It shouldn't do, because you know your manager's going to back you. You're in training with your teammates, and they want to back you, and the supporters, they want to back you. But these things happen, and you have to go through a bad spell like this and come out the other side. And hopefully, when you do come out the other side, you're a lot better.
I want to just say that you just touched on there that the supporters are backing you. Online, it's been pretty horrendous, but I think that overreaction does exist online. What I will say for those that was in the stadium yesterday, as soon as they scored, there was a lot of people trying to get some David De Gea chants going. The same happened at halftime as he walked off the pitch. I think at least the Stretford end especially was right on, like, come on, lad, like, get your head on it. I think he's earned to have that sticky patch almost, hasn't he?
He's earned the respect of what he's done on the pitch some for the last 6-7 years, whatever it is, and it's the problem is the timing. It's the timing of the situation of three games to go and a horrendous mistake. But think about it, didn't Buffon do exactly the same thing in the game against Paris Saint-Germain? Gave away a goal? These things happen. But deep down it hurts, because you're on your own. You're on your own. You're not out there playing on the pitch, running around doing this and doing that. You can't recover. You can't do anything apart from stand there and okay, your mind's on the game. But the actual fact is, you can't rectify that situation that you've done.
He's made as many mistakes in the last four games as he made in the previous 120. That's an illustration of the form he's in.
Yeah. And it's up to him. I mean, the thing is now, he's never had bad publicity. Mm. Now he's getting bad publicity. And when you get bad publicity, because you're the one that really, at the end of the day, has caused a defeat, or it's caused a situation which a game you should have won but you drew, the media will jump on that. And you can't do anything about it, apart from going training, getting yourself sorted out. The manager will talk to you, players will talk to you, coaches will talk to you to get you through it.
A striker can be played through poor form, and we saw Wayne Rooney was played through poor form when he was out of scoring. But a goalkeeper usually costs you points. A goal scorer might not get you a victory, but he's not going to lose you a game, whereas the opposite is the truth of the goalkeeper.
Exactly, Steve. And because the sad thing about, let's talk about the Chelsea game. You're 1-0 up very early on in the game.
Playing fantastic, by the way. Eh? I thought we were playing fantastic.
We were. We were playing better football than we played recently. Got to be honest about that. But the fact was, this goal happened at the wrong time, just before half-time. If we'd have gone in 1-0 up at half-time, we'd have won that game. Mm. But, unfortunately, because it finished, it's 1-1 because of David's mistake, and he admits it. He will admit it's his mistake. There's no problem about that. You hold your hand up. But the fact is, he could turn around and say, well, really, we should have scored more goals. We could have got another goal, we'd have won the game. So, you know, but you can't do anything about that.
What's your thoughts on playing a goalkeeper through poor form, or would you drop him, and where does the contract situation play into all this? Because it's a very complicated, probably no right answer sort of question, isn't it?
The problem there, that's with Ollie. That's his decision. Now, he can either, as far as I'm concerned, he can either say, right, David, look, I mean, Romero's never let the club down.
Best backup in the world.
Exactly. So there's a situation that Ollie could turn around and say, look, you know, look, your season's over. Come back next year. You're number one. Simple as that. I'm going to play Romero for the last two games, and that's it. Then it's up to him, because we know the game is run by agents. And let's see what his attitude is with that. If Ollie doesn't want to drop him, he'll play the last two games. Simple as that. And but how must Romero feel? That's another situation.
His attitude's phenomenal.
Well, it has been ever since he's come, you know. And so has David's. David's has been exactly the same, you know. There is a goalkeeper's union. You do help each other out, but when it comes to a situation where things are not happening for you, i.e., and there's other things about it, it's all right making mistakes with saves or things like that, but his distribution is not the same as it was when he first came. Now, is that because of the change in managementship at the top saying, and the coaching system saying, I don't want you to do that. I want you to, you know, I mean, against Wolves, I think it was in the Cup, he threw a ball out to Fred.
But you've got to expect a midfielder to be able to take possession of the ball in that area.
I accept that. But was it the right ball at the right time?
That's another question.
That's never seen. But he's done it again. When it actually broke down in, so you know, and he's done it before.
There was one of the Derby actually that I remember thinking, if we concede off this, I think he threw it out to Smalling, who panicked for exactly. A panic pass out to Young, and the ball came back. Then I think they had a shot.
This is a massive problem today for me for goalkeeper. The players in front of you, they get the ball. There's no one around them, and they pass it back. Now that's passing the buck to me. I wouldn't allow that. Because I would have said, you don't do that.
You could pick it up as well and relieve
well,
the danger.
It's the same sort of thing. If you've got plenty of space and no one around you, I mean, why put and no one around, let's say Smalling, or you mentioned, no, it's Smalling, if no one's around him, why give it back to him? We want to score goals.
Yep.
You know, and I honestly feel that his distribution has not been the same, because I wonder if that's what the coaches or the, you know, the people in charge don't want him to do.
Well, if you look at the personnel and the style of play that he's been shifted through, under Louis van Gaal, we played possession base, we played it on the floor. He had the likes of Daley Blind, very comfortable in possession. He could always go short to him. You would usually have Schweinsteiger or Schneiderlin or somebody would come short and drop in there and collect that. Against Mourinho signed giants. He signed Lukaku. He played Fellaini often. He signed Matic. I think he wanted him to go a bit more direct with it.
Well, he did because directly Fellaini was in the team and Fellaini was up front. Every goal kick then was actually going for Fellaini because, okay, there's a chance of him winning a header.
Or he brings it down his chest, which is like Velcro.
Well, that's right. But the thing is, when David came, he could pin a ball out to the right wing, to the left wing, you know, straight to players' feet. But
he doesn't
do that no more.
And I think the option of playing out from the back is limited now, because you've probably only got probably Lindelof, who's that comfortable in possession to accept that. So I noticed that the last few weeks, opposition don't bother trying to press Smalling. They don't bother trying to press Young. They want to mark Lindelof, so you have to go to them, who then struggle playing out from the back. I think that's all led to the probable confidence issues they've seen.
And there's also the fact, as well, Stephen, is the fact that he's talking to defenders, and, you know, demanding what you want. David, there's never really been that way of a kind of a goalkeeper that he demand. I mean,
how vital is that to a game, do you think?
Well, it's so vital. I mean, because David has been a great goalkeeper all the way up to sort of halfway through this season, yeah. Right? Which it has been.
The World Cup wasn't great either, I think.
No, okay, but what I'm talking about is his appearances for Manchester United have been exceptional. And when you're in that form, your back four are not worried. They are not worried. When that ball goes, David's there. But when you start making a few little mistakes, there's something in their minds go, oh, and they drop back. Drop back. And that causes more of a problem. So, somewhere along the line, like I said earlier, I'd forget this season. I would.
I wish I could forget this season.
No, I forget for him. For him. Yeah. For him. Forget this season. He knows himself what's happened in the last 5 or 6 weeks. I've got to go away, I've got to come back, and I've got to be as strong as I was when I very first came. When I say strong, he wasn't that strong build-wise, but mentally, the way he played the game, that's what he's got to do.
How did you cope with it yourself when you hit a sticky patch?
Done exactly that. Directly the manager, you're out the team, you've got to go back, you're planning with the reserves, the things are not in context in training. Don't forget, it's different today. But the fact is, you've got to go out. And you, every reserve game, every game you play, you've got to show the manager you are up for it back in training. And you have to do that. It's not easy. Mm. It's not easy because you know why? There's only one goalkeeper.
That's the issue, isn't it? The goalkeeper is a hero or a villain, and they never have a 6 out of 10 game.
No. That's it. So, you know, I feel really that he's going to come under more pressure this week than ever before. Although he's made a few like errors before, he's going to come under more pressure. I mean, you pick up the newspaper today. He should be dropped. That's up to the manager. Mm. It's not up to a guy who's never played the game and writes in the newspaper to say that. But that's what they do. You know, it's up to David to accept the decision of the manager, but don't drop your head. Maybe.
You'd like to see him almost come out and start commanding his area a little bit, almost take ownership of that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I keep seeing the games, every game at home, and I watch what he does. I watch what happens for corners and free kicks and things like that. Now, I think it was against City. He doesn't seem to have players on the post or one player on the goal line.
I don't get this. I always think that you should have a player.
Well, I always did, but I mean that and he actually saved a corner with his feet at the near post. Now, that's so unorthodox. But you can't change him. I mean, I believe I read an article by Eric Sewell, I think he was his goalkeeper coach when he first came. He said, you'll never change him. But, okay, you can't change him, you know. But look at near the end of the game, we had a corner against Chelsea. I forget who headed the ball, but they had a defender on the line and headed the ball off the line. Otherwise, we'd have scored.
It's Rojo.
That's, yeah, right. So at the end of the day, you know, that's one thing I would say as a goalkeeper. I want someone on the post.
It seems out of fashion, but I don't understand it because so many goals go in that place where you know someone would have been stood, and it can't be because of offsides. I don't get it.
No, but this is the actual situation that when they're training, and you do have, like, obviously train for corners for and again,
you'd hope
the actual thing is me. I ever said I want, if the manager says I don't want anybody on the post, I'd say no, I want them on the post. This is my goal. I'm looking after it. It's up to you to get players to go in those other positions to, you know. What is it, zone marking? What are you calling it? I don't know.
It's going to be an interesting summer, isn't it? I think we're going to be in for an absolute saga of a willy, won't he, when he signs his contract or whether he moves on.
Well, that's been that's been predicted for the last, since he's been here, really.
Yeah, and very close to happening as well, a couple of times.
Well, they've said that, but I don't... What concerned me, it was one stage where, yeah, I mean, I think United wanted something like 34 million or 36 million for him. This is obviously media say. And Real Madrid offered 32. Well, I've never known Real Madrid worry about £4 million.
Yeah, true story. Especially, they spent some crazy money on that Vincentius, didn't they? That 16-year-old or whatever he was. Unreal. If the unthinkable was to happen, is there any keepers out there that you go, he has to be the next number one at United? Dean Henderson could be a shout, having a fantastic season.
The only thing is that, in all due respect, there's not many goalkeepers that's ever come through from United. They've never come through. I mean, Tom Heaton now is at Burnley's done well, but they've all gone away and done well. I like Old Black. I think he's a good keeper. You got, whether we could get him or not, I don't know.
I think he'd be very, very, very expensive, wouldn't he?
Hey, if you want the best.
True story.
You've got to pay for it.
I like Ralph Farman, German guy. I've probably not seen much of him.
No, I haven't seen much of him, but it's like everything else. When a new goalkeeper comes in, you've got to show the manager, the crowd, the club, what you can do. Like when I signed for United, I mean, I came to United, there were three top-class goalkeepers here. Harry Gregg, I know, he's come to the end of his career. There was David Gaskell, who played in the 63 Cup final. There was Pat Dunne, who won a title in 65. Yeah, I came, so there's four keepers. I come, and I had to show what I could do. Otherwise, if I didn't, go on.
Talk to us a little bit about that team, because this is the mythical Manchester United team. Three Ballon d'Or winners, the Trinity. What was it like playing behind them guys?
Well, it was something. I mean, when I arrived, I mean, I mean, obviously read everything about them and that, but obviously the media and the social scene wasn't like it is today. But the fact is, I didn't know anybody, but there's also other internationals in the team as well, and Nobby Stiles, a World Cup winner, but.
Should be, like we said before, sir, should be Sir Nobby. Yeah.
The fact was that all I did when I first came was, I mean, I learnt my trade at Millwall, to be honest.
You didn't play a single game at Chelsea?
One game. I still hold the record. We won 3-0, so I'm the only goalkeeper that never let a goal in. But the thing was, I've always maintained that I had to be in charge. And I spoke to me defenders, you know. I spoke to Bill Fultz. I mean, he was in his 30s, basically, you know. But, I mean, I still sort of said what I would like. And with my fullbacks as well, you know. That was it. I mean, Bobby Noble and Tony Dunn or Shea Brennan or Francis Burns. It was one of them. John Fitzpatrick as well. And they took it in, what I was saying to them. So I was confident in them, and they became confidence in me, and you carry on.
With the rebuilding that's required at United, just before we came on air, you were saying, like, we've got to start with a defence. We've got to get back to having a strong defence. Is obviously, the 68 team you played in is known for as being a flair team. If we look at our greatest team,
well,
all
because you mentioned three European footballers here at the same time.
Yeah. But that's still built on the basis of a good, strong goalkeeper with a good defence.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Yeah. Every single one of them's had a phenomenal defence and goalkeeper, haven't they?
Well, that's right. I mean, Tony Dunn, I mean, he played over 500 games. I mean, Bill Fultz was 700 games, you know. That's how it was. I mean, Nobby and... But we had a team of a family built by the great Sir Matt Busby. And that gave us, you know, everything to go out and play with flair. Every player that came into that team was part of Matt's jigsaw puzzle to go out and win games, hopefully.
How long do you reckon it's going to take Ollie to put his own stamp on that, or be allowed to put his own stamp on that?
I think it's very difficult today, because you're never going to have another Matt Busby in that era. You're never going to get another Alex Ferguson in the 26 years.
You won't go 7 years without winning a title and keep your job now, will you?
Well, you won't go 3 years, you might go 2 years. It's been proved to that. I mean, it's like how can I say, across the way. Pep Guardiola came, he left Barcelona, went to Bayern Munich to win the Champions League. 3 years gone.
After three titles as well.
Eh?
Wins three titles back
to
back.
That's not enough.
Yeah, wasn't enough.
Now, what do they want at the Etihad? They want the Champions League, and it's been 3 years. They still haven't won it.
I can't imagine they'd sack him.
I didn't say it would.
No. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, and you just said it, how long do you last before you... But that's what they want. They want the Champions League. They've had the Premiership. They've had the First Division titles. They've won the FA Cups and League Cups. Same as we have. But they haven't won the Champions League. And it's very difficult for managers. Now, you go back to Ollie. He's got the job. I think it was a 3-year contract.
I don't even know.
I don't know. But anyway, let's say it's 2 years or 3 years. Doesn't make a difference. But the fact is, he's still got to produce. And he's got to produce in a way that that he is allowed, presumably, he's allowed to pick who he wants. Now, whether that's the case, I don't know. There's talk of... A director of football coming in. Lots of clubs have got that now. Whether that happens, and does he still have his say, or is it worked out between Ollie and them? I don't know. But we've got to strengthen our defence, because I think we've let in 50 goals this season. Unheard of. It's in there. It's in front of you.
Well, it's just, you look at, I think we failed to replace the likes of Vidic and Rio before their time. I think when you look at some of the signings that we've been making, you look back to when we signed Rio Ferdinand, that was a, oh my God, signing. Rooney. Rooney was the equivalent of Mbappe now, wasn't he, in terms of the hype around him. We signed him, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We haven't had any of the oh my God signings where that you know that they're genuine world class, and even if somebody thought Jones and Smalling were capable defenders and good footballers, there was never the oh my God signings that the likes of Rio was. And although Vidic and Evra never was oh my God signings, they were good established internationals that we brought in that became those players. I just don't see those personalities.
You've hit it on the head there, Stephen. You see, you've mentioned players. Vidic, Evra, these players, and Rio, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't think they wanted to play out the back. They were solid defenders. They covered everything. Manchester United have never really played out the back. Every team, they all do it now. Look, goalkeepers now pass it out, they give it back to the goalkeeper. Excuse me, one mistake, it's in the back of the net, and it's happened.
It took City a while to get it right after Pep came in. They didn't get it right immediately.
No, exactly. But does it mean to say that proves that you're going to be the number one team in the country? No, not necessarily. If you don't concede goals, and you have a very strong defence, and you have a midfield duo, really, when you think about it, that can switch the ball from A to B to C, whatever, and you've got goal scorers up front with pace, I still think you can win the league.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool and City arguably both play out the back, but they both do it totally differently. And it's, they're both still scoring goals, they're both not conceding a lot of goals.
But they've got players that can do that. Mm. We haven't got players that can do that. And that's why we have suffered in certain areas this season. You talk to any Manchester United supporter, we want to play the Manchester United way. And what's the Manchester United way? Okay, down the flanks, get the ball, get the crosses in, players get into the box. I see the game today, I watch our team, and there's certain times where I've seen the ball over on our right-hand side, and there's a player free over the far side, and they play it in here.
No, they've not got the ability to switch it. So
exactly. Yeah. But I tell you what, City do.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they go over that halfway line? They've got width, and they switch from A to B to C. That's Manchester United way. Not back in our half. Anyone can play whatever they want. They can do what they like on the back of in your own half. But we are not good enough. And I don't think our supporters would want it anyway. Look, we hang about, pass it back to the keeper, pass it out here. Hey, be direct. That's the Manchester United way.
There's a book I'm reading which I definitely recommend checking out called Soconomics.
Okay.
It talks about managers are less important than the players on the pitch in terms of you can see a ton of examples that they use Leon as one example. Leon won 9 titles on the bounce under 4 managers. Did they just happen to appoint 4 amazing managers, or were Leon the best team in the country? They were the best team in the country. Now, you've played in a European Cup winning team, mm-hmm. arguably the best team in the world on the day,
mm-hmm.
And you've also been relegated at this club.
Yeah.
You've gone through a similar transition as what we're going through recently with Sir Alex moving on, with Sir Matt retiring and the different managers that came in. How much of what happened then and what happens now do you think is on the manager that comes into the seat, and how much of it do you think is that the players weren't good enough when you got relegated and aren't good enough at the moment versus the teams that have been successful?
Well, when you look at it like that, the fact is, if you go back to the season we were relegated, I played the 42 games. I think I conceded 48 goals in 42 games. We were relegated. Well, I think we lost 11 or 12 games 1-0. What's the problem?
Not scoring.
Exactly. That is the problem. You don't win matches by defending all the time. You've got to have a strike force, and you've got to have flair, and you've got to have players that, well, when they get the ball, play to them from the halfway line up. The game's so quick today. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But when the ball's played up to a player's feet and he's facing it, they kick it back there. When is someone going to go and turn and go at players? Cause that defence problems. We don't seem to do that.
There's a lot of that. That feels to me a bit like what Louis tried to do. It was pass, 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 and not enough dribble with the ball.
It's not so much dribble. It's the actual fact is the player himself with his own flair, his own ability to get the ball and go at and turn and go at the defence. Simple as that. But you see any player now, any forward who goes at the defence panics.
Well, yeah, they draw a foul or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Especially
but we don't do it. We kept pass back. That was Louis van Gaal. Even with Mourinho, it was the same thing. Pass, 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 pass. What's all that about? You're not going to score a goal, keep passing in your own half.
No, you need the ball in the box.
Exactly.
So what do you think, though? If you had to say the players just weren't good enough or managers weren't up to it?
It's a system. It's the system that they're being told to play. But when I want to see a player do what he wants to do, because that's his own skills, that's his own flair, that's his own personality. Do something and let the crowd be behind you. If Manchester United supporters saw a player take on players and go at them, turn and go at them, they love all that.
Well, that's the reason the likes of George Best are fondly remembered, because that's what he would do. Ryan Giggs. They pick the ball up and like, check this out.
There you are.
Last time he was on, and unfortunately not a lot of you watched it, so we're going to tell it again. Talk to me about that George Best story that he did. So George Best against Liverpool, he scored it?
Yeah.
So George Best goes through one-on-one with a keeper. He plays a 1-2 off the keeper and passes it into the net, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's reaction to that is, he got lucky with a rebound.
Yeah.
But he didn't get lucky, did he?
He didn't get lucky because the day before, on the Friday at the Cliff, he said to Pat Crown and myself, I want to try something out because it's a simple thing. I mean, Liverpool had a fantastic goals against record. Not many teams scored at Anfield. And because their back
who was keeper at the time?
Tommy Lawrence was the keeper. And the fact was, it was Emin Hughes, Ron Yates, Tommy Smith and Chris Lawler. But that at Anfield, they played high up the pitch. So when any team came over the pitch, tried to come over, they would win the ball, foul, doesn't matter. That was because they're far enough away from goal. But George had pace. And Paddy was a great passer of the ball. And he just said to me, you do what you would do in a game. And that's what it was. And he came with me and I couldn't push him away because he kept coming straight at me. Now, goalkeepers today, they won't dive at people's feet. Not many. I mean, there are some, but not many now. But when I went to dive at his feet, he toe-poked the ball, he hit my shin, and he just put the ball in his net. You didn't expect that, huh? Because he
did. And then he manages to pull it off at Anfield the next day.
He does it. I took a corner, I threw the ball to Paddy, and boom, the ball was in. But it's in the back of the net. Simple.
What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction was, I just thought, it happened so many times with George. He'd done things in training that it came off. That, you know, it never really surprised me. But the fact was, you know, after the game, I said, you must have enjoyed it. He said, I did. I loved it. That was it.
I think we miss out a little bit. I think the video highlights that we see of these players, what would George Best have been like in the Twitter era where people are pulling out 10-second clips of every player every time they beat someone? George embarrassed players, didn't he?
He didn't try to embarrass them. He tried to do something different. That's the thing. It wasn't embarrassing. The most embarrassing situation for any footballer is to be nutmegged. That's it. And George would do it, but every player would do it. They'd all try and do it. That was how it was in those days. But his main aim was to do something different because he was different himself. He done what he wanted to do. You know, his talent came out. And that's all I'm saying to you, you know, about United now. You know, players have got talent, but if they're told not to do this and not to do that, why don't they do it? You know, and change people's mind. Is it, you know, that was it. I mean, how many times did Bobby Charlton say, you know, he'd make a run when George got the ball and George would beat another player and he'd make another run and he beat another player and he'd make another run and the ball finished in the back of net and Bobby would say, great goal, George. You know, that was it.
Is that one of the privileges of having to play for someone like a Sir Matt Busby where they tell you to express yourself?
Well, that was. Because
you had a couple of managers that didn't do that.
Yeah, obviously. But the fact is that the great Matt, you see, when you joined Manchester United, you know, when Matt was manager, you were welcomed into a family. Although you're an individual yourself, but you're in a team as well, and you were welcomed in not only by the players that were in the club, because they all want to be winners. And they wanted to be winners for Manchester United, and because when you join Manchester United, when Matt was there, you're not only part of his family, like the football side of it, but you're also part of his family, you know, his wife and son and daughter. Whenever they're there, they're backing him, and that's how it was. And I would say exactly the same with Sir Alex.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that. It seemed like that was something that both Sir Matt and Sir Alex managed, was that they made United...
Very clever people. Mm. Very clever. They had a way about them of, can I say this, remembering names. Now, I don't care who you work for, if you're a football club, like Sir Alex or Sir Matt were there and you worked in the office and you were walking down the corridor and... one of them was coming towards you, they would say, "Hi, Stephen, how are you? Are you all right? How would that make you feel?"
And ask you something personal, not generic as well, by the sounds of things,
yeah,
I've heard.
Yeah, exactly. You're there, it was about, are you everything okay? You know, that's what...
And I believe Ollie's brought an element of that back.
Well, it was interesting, when Ollie came in as an interim manager, the first thing he said, if I remember rightly, in his interview, "I want to bring back the history to this club."
He brought gifts for all the canteen ladies.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. See, now, the actual thing about that, you never got that from Mourinho. You never got that from Van Gaal. I don't know about David Moyes, because I know David to a certain extent, but I believe he worked 24/7 in trying to beat what Alex and what Sir Matt had done. But unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. I mean, he worked so hard at it. But I think Ollie might just bring that back to a certain extent. But the players have got to recognise it. You've got to be part of a family. And when you're a family, you want to be winners, don't you?
Mm. And I think that's what we're short of at the moment. I do think he did manage to bring the feel-good factor back initially. I hope a good pre-season sorts everyone out, because I think that we've looked a bit leggy back in the season.
The problems we've had this season is mainly, I mean, and I'm talking about the fourth season, is mainly the egos of certain people, even manager and players.
I believe a lot of the issues was caused by a falling out between Mourinho and some of the bigger names, and that has possibly imploded on him.
But listen, you asked me earlier, what was it like when you were left out of the team? It didn't worry me about falling. I never fell out with Matt Busby. Why should I? He's his decision. And deep down, I knew I wasn't playing as I was. So it's up to me. Forget that side of it. But because of the way the game has changed so much now with social media and things like that, and all those things that go on, that they do say, I don't have anything to do with any of that kind of thing. But the fact is that has ruined, you know, the dressing room. Ruin the situation.
So Matt seems like a happy granddad. I imagine he had times when he tear strips off you. Did you ever fall out with him?
Always. No, I fell out with him once. The only reason that I fell out with, I didn't fall out with him. I'd done something wrong which I shouldn't have done on the football pitch. And I got reprimanded on it and disciplined. That's fine. And you have to accept that. He never fell out with me because he wanted me to play for him. It was something you've done wrong, boom, gone, finished, got.
He had a hard edge to him then?
Oh, behind closed doors, yeah.
Quiet?
Yeah.
One of those I'm disappointed kind of guys.
It's like, I don't know, is it like going into your head teacher when you're at school, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when you went in his office, the door closed. He never swore, never ever swore in his life, but whatever he said to you
resonated.
Bump.
He doesn't seem a shouter.
But then if there was any press involved around the club at the time, that situation, he would, you're down here, but he would boost you so much in front of the press that, unbelievable.
I think my dad says there was a story of Sir Alex had gone into him early doors and gone, papers are tearing strips off me. He's like, don't read the papers, do you?
Well, that's it. Don't read papers. Well, that's right, I believe so. Don't read papers, son. You know, just get on with your job. And he's right. And that's all you want. But then, as time goes on and you start winning things and becoming the man you are, the manager you are, the great manager, you are then, you've got the papers where you want them. If you want to boycott them, boycott them. Makes no difference. He's not bothered.
Right, on that note, Alex, thank you again for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Go give him a follow. Good follow over on Twitter. Thanks for Alex for joining us. Get all your comments and questions. And do you know what? I'm sure we'll have him on again soon as well. See you in the next one.